Hello and welcome back to another episode of Tending the Flame podcast. This week Denise and I interview local medium and author Angela Dunlop. I was so excited about this episode. I've been a fan of Angela for years and I was always in her wee shop out the back of Castle Court called House of Healing. It was an amazing wee shop with some amazing teachers and healers and herself included. So I'm very excited about this episode where we cover her new book, The Miracle of Mediumship, how she discovered her gifts and the importance of having a passion and vocation. So thank you so much for listening.
That was a good one. Drinking orange juice?
No, cranberry juice. Yeah, I'm a student from 2009.
Spar cranberry juice, like spar. No, it's good for
the
urethra.
So it is pressure.
So one of the big things I like to ask people is, because I know a lot of people come to like spirituality and different stuff through different mediums, whether you're like raised religious or like you're raised like in a spiritual home. So like, what did that look like for you, like coming into your spirituality? Maybe like, first of all, like, were you raised with religion or spirituality or anything?
Yeah, well, my father, he had no sense of religion or spirituality when we were growing up, but my mother did, and she always did. And I was raised more as a Catholic background. And when I was younger, my mum would have encouraged me. I'm the eldest of four sisters. So my mum would have encouraged myself and my sisters to go along to church with her every Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that I went hopping and skipping and jumping. It was more of a chore. And we weren't made to put dresses on or little fancy hats, nothing of that nature. But I still enjoyed when I got to church, and I liked the hymns. But I always wondered when the priest was talking about Jesus on the cross and our Father in heaven. And I used to think, well, if he is our Father, then who's Jesus's father? And then who's his grandfather, you know? So I always was a little bit curious and questioning, but you weren't really allowed back then to question, you know, anything. It wouldn't have been something to come up, but you know, I like going so much, especially for the music. I always found an outlet in creativity through music, and I went along and I joined the church choir, and I don't know if it was the best, but I still enjoyed singing. And then I also played the tin whistle and the flute and the boron and a little bit of guitar. So I really always, and I was very, very good at just listening by ear with music. I never really learned notes. I could just play something by listening to a tune and then taking it on board. So when I did that when I was younger, it was a nice creative outlet. And maybe my father would have only came to church, not that what you're asking, but he would have came maybe just on special occasions like Easter or Christmas time, etc. But it was a Catholic background that I grew up in. And then the spirituality, I think it's very much different because, and even though I may have been raised as a Catholic, it doesn't mean to say that I'm a practicing Catholic anymore. You know, I don't go to church. You know, that's not what my belief is any longer. And through the work that I do now, and I'm not here to put people down on their path. If you choose whatever you choose and it brings you peace and you find that you surrender and have faith and you can relax with it, good. There's many paths to God, as they say. But for me, when I was 24, I started going to a place called the Belfast Spiritualist Church. And that's where I started to see psychic mediums work from. And I found it fascinating to watch these individuals up on a platform delivering messages from loved ones who have passed over to the congregation. And that began to open my mind into everything to do with spirituality, especially to do with mediumship. And that was the beginning of my journey. So yes, I was raised as a Catholic, but I'm not here to put anybody down on the religious aspect, but for me, from my point of view, the path that I follow now is completely different from what I was as a child.
And obviously not speaking too much for Denise here, but for me that's similar enough as well. Like, raised Catholic, not a practicing Catholic, probably more culturally so, but it's funny enough that I started going to a spiritualist church a couple of months ago, and I was going for about 2 months, and I haven't been now since like a good bit before Christmas. But I know what you mean by like being like just amazed and like in awe of like the stuff that people are doing up there. Like, it's class.
No, it is. It's amazing, and it's not just what the work that they're doing, it's the effect that they're having on the individuals. And there is only one spiritualist church in all of Ireland. There is hundreds scattered, not just, there's thousands around the world, and there's a few hundred over in England and Scotland and Wales, but there's only one that's here, and we're very fortunate to have it in Belfast. And whenever I only started being involved in the classes and in the circles in the church, whenever I got enough training behind me, then I branched out, and there wasn't really, do you know the way people now would do demonstrations of mediumship? Like the way I do. So back then people weren't really doing that, and it was I was one of the sort of first people to kind of branch out and start to do evenings of mediumship, and then bring the work out more into the public instead of people just going to that church. And they still go to the church today, but it's more accessible today because there's so many mediums that are out in hotels and theatres and different locations. So it's not just very hush hush, and especially in a Catholic background home, there's no way that you were ever allowed to practice anything to do with mediumship. I come from a generational family of mediums. My granny, she used to read the tea leaves. Her daughter, Christina, used to see people that were passed over in her bedroom every single night. And my grandmother's sister, who's a nun, she sees auras around people. And so, yes, my granny, my wee granny Doyle, her sister was a nun, and she used to see the aura, the colours that emanated from individuals. Maybe it was because she was a very spiritual little lady, but then another sister of my granny, she used to read the tea leaves. And then my mum herself, she does readings, and I have another sister that does readings. So it comes through the family line, and it's an ability that people, normally you find if you're involved in the work that I do, that it's a very natural gift, but it's something to be developed. It's like if somebody has an ability for singing, they might go along and do singing lessons. You know, they might be really fabulous in the beginning, but through singing lessons and coaching, they're going to become even better and given the right leads. And it's the same way with mediumship. You know, you might have a really natural, lovely ability there, but if a teacher and someone takes you through certain steps, and especially through meditation and just being open to be able to feel the spirit people, and then to be able to tune in a bit more to what they're sharing or saying, then that's whenever you get really good at it, and then you move into different levels. And it's not that, maybe not move into different levels, but you just become more sensitive and feeling the energy stronger to be able to communicate with them.
I know the difference between mediumship and, say, other forms of, spiritual psychic skill. But for people who are listening who maybe don't know the difference, or even if there is a clear difference, would you be able to describe the difference, say, between the work that you do as a medium and, say, the work that, say, you know, like a someone who is a psychic? Like, I've done readings for people where people ask me, you know, about do I do mediumship, and I'm like, no, that for me it feels like a clear difference, because I don't speak to spirits or kind of draw on that kind of energy, and that's okay. But for people who are listening who don't maybe fully understand the distinctions between the two, would you be able to describe how different your work is in comparison to, say, a psychic that you go to do, like, to read your energy or your future or whatever's coming up for you at that time?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The first thing I want to say is neither is better than one another, because sometimes when people say, they may term psychics as fortune tellers, and you're right in what you say that, you know, you might not have the interest in mediumship, but your interest lies in helping people with the material aspects of their life or their health or their, it depends on the awareness that you have, but the complete difference. There's just a very finite difference between the mediumship and with the psychic. And the main difference is the work of a medium is working with a loved one who has passed over. The work of a psychic is working with the soul or the spirit of the person who's alive in front of you. So I'm working with the discarnate energy or soul, and you're working with the living energy or soul. And that's the only real difference, but you're still working with spirit. Because the person who's coming for a reading, they have needs, but so does the person who's in spirit. They have needs. And the individual who's working in front of you, they have. So when you're working psychically, you're going to be looking at their career, possible health, relationships, career, money, home life. There'll always be like certain wee categories that maybe will fall in around all of those parts that I've just mentioned. So when you're being able to be sensitive enough to feel what that person is going through and their needs, it's the same thing within whenever I'm working with, as in the mediumship, because I'm working with individuals. So say, for instance, a mum wants to come through from spirit and connect to her daughter or her son. That lady in the spirit world will still have the same needs of wanting to talk about her son or her daughter and tell her things that maybe is going on around her life at the minute, or the family life, or to give her encouragement, or to give her help. You're doing exactly the same. You're giving encouragement and help. So it's a very slight difference, but the difference is that I'm working with the discarnate soul, and the psychic is working with the living soul, but they're still both spirit, and you still have to do your best for the individual who's working with you with the needs that you have.
Right, okay. That is such a good, I wasn't expecting such like a good, as in, like, I'm really pleased that I got such a good clear, because I had all of that in my head of, like, I know kind of, like, the difference, and you explained it so well. No, that's great. That's perfect. It's just for people maybe who don't know. I think Broda and I, sometimes we chat and we make assumptions that people know the crack with the stuff that we talk about, yeah. You know. So that's great. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, no worries. And I think, too, that you have to recognise, because sometimes if somebody says to me, oh, you're a fortune teller, I'll say, I'm not a fortune teller. I work as a medium. Oh, you're a clairvoyant. No, I'm not a clairvoyant. I do have clairvoyant skills, but so I may be able, and you have to remember too, that when a loved one comes and makes that connection, the work that I do is to prove evidentially that there is life in spirit, that our loved ones don't die, that their souls are eternal, that their love is still with us, constantly streaming towards us always. So that's the work of the medium. And the work of the psychic is more for what is going on this side of life, how you're able to help somebody with their mental mind, with their emotional, with their physical, and then the aspects that branch out within their family, their romance, their career, their money, their travel, their aspirations, the aspects of things that they want to do with their lives and their patterns, and trying to help them with their patterns so that maybe you can give them encouragement. But the same need from the spirit world will come through in that way too. So don't ever let, in case this ever happens, don't ever let yourself feel like maybe you're, because you don't know what's going to develop there with your psychic ability. You know, you may find in a period of time that this, you start to feel different energy, and you start to just have a slight awareness of, I feel like your daddy's passed, or I have an uncle here, or I'm getting a real strong sense of tobacco and I can see a wee woman in my mind. Oh my God, this is your granny. Or, and you start to just, and that's how it begins, you know. But for the medium will always have a very strong foundation in the psychic first, and develop then the spirit in that way. Because if I can't work with somebody who's in front of me psychically, yeah, I have to understand the needs of the person who's coming to me for a reading in order for me to work with the need of the spirit world. and what their need and what they want to say. So it's like a little fine line, but there is definitely subtle differences in the work that I do.
Yeah. How did it start for you? As in, I think a lot of people have a sort of an idea that mediumship is like a scene from Ghost, you know, where you've got Patrick Swayze kind of like standing behind you or whatever. But how did it start for you, where you went down? I know you give us a bit of your background and how you kind of came to this point, but at what point do you ever remember, like, a singular point where you thought, hold on, there's something more to this. I can, like you said, I can feel there's more of a presence, or I can feel an identity dropping in. And was there a moment where you're like, oh my, like, shit, like, there's something more here? Like, do you remember a point like that?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and I talk about it in the book. And for anybody, I'm going to do this now. I'm just going to go, this is the book. So it's called The Miracle of Mediumship. And it talks about the beginning of my story of how I got involved in the mediumship. But the very first contact that I ever had was in the Belfast Spiritualist Church. And I had been attending the awareness class for a few weeks, and a teacher came over from England, and I was only 24 at the time. I'm 43 now. I know I look shit hot, like, I'm going to be honest, but you know, I'm joking. Don't, may I add that bit out? I'm only joking. You don't even have to.
No, I'm keeping that
in. I love them that we love too. But anyways, so I was 24, and the teacher said, will you sit and sit with somebody in front of you and see, can you make a link with the spirit world? And so she said, close your eyes and trust everything that you get. And I had never done this before, but I did as instructed. So there was a young girl, the two of us didn't know one another, and we sat in front of one another, and I closed my eyes, and immediately the energy changed all around me. But the difference was, clairvoyantly, internally, I could see a man, but the feeling was a dad. And I just said to her, I can see a man and I feel he's a father. And this man looks like he was around 54, 55. And then I started having pains across my chest. And I said, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. And I opened my eyes and I said, does any of that mean anything? And she said, well, my daddy is dead. And he did die in his 50s and he died with a heart attack. And as I got that, then this stream of information started flowing through me. And it was exactly the same. It was through a feeling, through seeing. And then it wasn't maybe through hearing, but it was definitely through the seeing and the feeling. And all I did was completely trust in what I was experiencing. You know, when you're doing mediumship, you have to be able to trust and surrender. And it's exactly the same if you are a psychic. You know, you're going to be doing exactly the same of trust and surrender in whatever experience that you're feeling. Because when you're working with an individual, you're going to be feeling things from the presence of whoever is in front of you. And it's exactly the same in the mediumship. I'm going to feel presences, but it's not frightening. It's encouraging. It's loving. It's a lovely interaction between my soul and their soul. And I wouldn't necessarily ever call them an identity, because that, I know it's only a play on words, but you're working with somebody's dad. You're working with someone's mother, their granny, their uncle, their son, their daughter. If my daughter passed and somebody would say to me, I have an identity here, and she's a girl, you know, I want to be known. That has to be personal. It has to be through that love. I have your daughter. I know she loves you. I know she's still here for you. I have your wee granny. Oh my God, you were so close. And your wee granny was a wee character. And, you know, she was really old and everybody loved her and she was losing the plot. But everybody just admired her for who she was, and she was a strong, weak character. You see, what you're trying to do as a medium is prove, not just through evidence of height or weight, because they may not mean anything, but if you get the weak character and the personality and unique memories that are connected to the person who's in front of you, then it means the world of difference.
That's mad. I had no idea about, like, your hopes in the past, like, for, like, DJ and everything. That's absolutely class. It just shows, like, as you said, like, if a path laid out for you, like, spirit wants you to work a certain way, doesn't matter what you have planned, it's just gonna pull the rug out from under you and just tell you where to go. But see, throughout, like, has because I know in like the wee description that you'd sent us that after closing House of Healing, you had more opportunity to work from home. Was it always in your plan to write a book, or is that something that's now been like born out of having more time to, well, not more time, but
yeah,
you know,
no, I've been wanting to write a book from not day one, but certainly when I got more involved in it and I started working more professionally, and I was involved in an office job as well as I was helping people with disabilities, and it was in an office environment, and I really enjoyed that, and I'd done that for a long time, and then I was DJing on the side, and then I was doing my classes on the side. So what was the question again? You were just, I've lost my train of thought there.
You're fine. Just like, well, you've just said that like you've always wanted to write a book, but like with regard to working from home, was that like, I've said like about a million times for whatever reason. Why was now the time for you to write it?
Whenever I closed House of Healing, it was ready. That was it. I've been doing this work for, well, I've been involved in it almost 20 years. So I think that I had a few stories to tell, and that I'd come through a lot of different experiences. So I knew that I was going to write the book at some stage, and I had tried for years on and off, on and off, on and off. And last year I made some sort of lifestyle changes, you know, that were positive for my life. I decided to give up drink. I didn't want to drink anymore. I wanted to focus more on me, my energy, and looking at what was bringing positivity into my life and what was creating more negative, you know, and letting go of few friends and a relationship, and you know, it was a clear night, I think that's the right way of putting it, and it just sort of made me more focused, and that's when I decided this is it now, I'm going to go forward, I'm going to get the book wrote. And interestingly, this is maybe the interesting part, last September I wrote a letter to God, and I said to him, I just wrote, you know, what am I doing in my life? How am I going forward? I don't have any belief in myself anymore. I'm so confused. I don't know where my life is going. You know, I wrote down this big letter about my insecurities, my fears, my self-doubt, all of that. And then I wrote a big G at the side with a circle for God. And then I just allowed my thoughts and I just wrote. And what I wrote was, start your book next July and I will help you. So in July of this year, I had taken initially 2 months off because I wanted to do some traveling with my daughter, Gabrielle. But because of COVID, that wasn't really going to be visible in the way that I wanted. So in July, and this is many months that have passed over, then one morning I just woke up and went, I'm going to start my book today. And that was it. And I had the book completed, wrote within 2 months, completely finished. And then had an editor, everything just joined up the way that I was speaking about them jigsaw pieces, everything joined up, and then by Christmas I released it. So it took me less than 5 months to have it completed, wrote, edited the covers, everything designed, put up on the Amazon, everything just fell into place. So it was the right time for the book to all connect, but I believe it's because I had that wee incentive. I don't know what your belief is in a higher power or the universe or God or spirit or your angels or whatever you call it. It doesn't matter what you call it. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just a spiritual essence, energy that's flowing through us, but it wants the best for each of us, and it wants a good life, and it wants us to be taken care of. And it wants this creative energy to go out into the world. And so my passion, and for years and years and years, I always thought, I'm going to write a book. And I started to stop. But then it was ready for it. God told me, do it now. And I listened, and then I took action. I think that's the difference. Sometimes it's good to have a passion for something, but you need to take action. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in having this passion and all these ideas. You have to make some plans to make it happen and put the action behind it for it actually to take place. But if you find you're forcing it, then that's the difference. If it just falls naturally, but sometimes we have to have patience, you know.
I love that. That's what I love about that story and that background and how you got to this point, how you've written the book and it's now out. I'm going to talk about it now in a wee second. We set this podcast up was to make spirituality feel a lot less aloof and to make it feel something that was accessible and that people could connect with. And that, like you said, you can call it God, universe, angels, universal love, whatever it is that you want to call it. All paths lead to the same thing and we can call it whatever we want. But what I love about your story is that it's so connecting that someone might look at you or your Instagram or, you know, maybe they've done work with you and they think, God, she's got all of this sort of figured out. You know, God, things must be so easy for her. But actually, we all have our moments of, what the fuck am I doing with my life? What is going on?
That probably happens on a daily basis.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's so relatable and so important. It's so important that we all have.
I think you need to be authentic to recognizing we all have that, and it will never ever leave, that inner critic that tries to create chaos in our lives. It tries to bring self-doubt. It tries to just take away and absorb negatively. And it's how you handle your mindset and how you overcome those self-doubt thoughts that seem to come up. So whenever I was writing the book, every other chapter, I kept this inner critic voice that I'm talking about was saying to me, you can't do this. Nobody's going to read it. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are writing a book? Who's even going to read it? You only got a C in your English GCSE. You've never done anything with journalism. You've never did anything with writing. So there was this stream of self-doubt that was sitting there. And so while I was writing, sometimes I was stopping and going, like, what am I doing? Oh my God. And I was feeding into that part of my mind. And so then I learned to just say to it out loud, which might sound nuts, but it worked for me. And sometimes when that was so loud in my mind, I would just say, do you know what? I'm very aware of you and your wee thoughts, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to finish this chapter anyway. I'll just finish it and see what happens. So then I used to finish the chapter regardless of all this kind of thinking, but that them thoughts never ever leave. And the way I found to move forward is to keep moving forward regardless, and just acknowledge that it's every person, no matter if somebody is millions of followers or they're, you know, famous, or even if you're not, it doesn't matter. We'll all have various levels in our mental minds where that ego part that tries to take away from, but it's how you embrace it. And you have to have an awareness of it when it's trying to attack, because that's all it's doing. It's trying to take away from your passions, your purpose, why you're here. And so just let your light be on fire and let your flame burn bright and just get out into the world and create your purpose and do what you're meant to do, and not let that part of that mind pull you away from whatever your soul is destined for, or what your calling is, or what your purpose is. You know, just keep moving forward and just say to it, I hear you, thanks very much for coming, but I'm just going to do this anyway.
Jeez.
I felt that one right in me soul there. I felt like I was watching a TED talk or something, a big positivity thing. That was brilliant. And it's given me a kick up the hole to get right again.
See, after this, the teams are going to be like, right, what are we doing with our legs?
Honestly, I'm just going to go back up to my room and just
you're
be like,
going to be setting semicircles, all sorts of, right, we're doing this year. Goal setting.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's really good to have, you see, if you don't know what you want to do, though, then you're not going to know what you want to do. So it's really important that you have some form of idea of goals, even if it's small things, manageable goals on a day-to-day basis. For example, if you've been putting off bills, paying a certain bill, if you've been putting off cleaning the bathroom, doing your daily household chores, getting the car text, sorting out the dogs or the cats with the vet, wee small simple things that maybe you've been putting off, you see, when you get those, because what it's doing is putting pressure on your mind. you know, and when you procrastinate and you don't do the things that you keep needing to do on a day-to-day basis, when you have those in order, then it frees up your energy, which allows then you to want to focus on the bigger goals about what you want to do. So keeping order and balance in your life is really important, but it's not to say that you have to keep putting yourself under pressure of to do, because we're here to be as well, but it's keeping the balance of being and keeping the regularity of your work life and your home life and everything else in between. But that's why small wee goals can help to create a bit more balance in your life. And then if there's bigger things that you want to go for that you need to take some patience on and small steps, then you know you start working towards that and keep the vision of it in your mind. Keep believing in that vision, even when that wee sort of small voice is trying to take away from. Don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it. I call mine, I actually have a name. I have a name for it, my inner critic, and it's called Norman. I don't know. It's a born name. It sounds awful. Sorry to any Normans. I go, right, Norman, I hear you, but I'm not listening to you, mate. Away you go. That's it.
Brown is lost.
Four off. Norman, I'm not listening today. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm here to do, you see?
Oh, I love that. It's so easy to tell somebody off called Norman, like, so yeah. Fair enough. So,
you can call your inner critic a name if you wish.
So your book, The Miracle of Mediumship, so you released it at Christmas time. Has the reception for it been good? And also, so there's two questions. Has the reception, and also, what can someone expect? Say they walk into Waterstones, they maybe see it on Amazon, and you think, oh, maybe that's something for me. What can they expect if they pick that up, and what will they find in it?
So at the minute, it's not on Waterstones. So if they do want to get it, they can get it on my website, angeladunlap.co.uk. So they can purchase the book through there, the soft copy that I showed you earlier. So you can get the book on my website, but you can download it onto Kindle through Amazon. So, and if somebody does download it or if they purchase it, it will have, it's a book to instill faith. And there is lots of stories about loved ones who have passed over and their connection to their loved ones that are here. So it's loads of examples of different people that I've read throughout the years, and I've chose a few stories to highlight examples of mediumship and how our loved ones are still with us. But it's also a background story about how I got involved in the mediumship. And when I reread the book, what's interesting is it's also a story about overcoming self-doubt, because all my life, whenever I was younger, and even when I got involved in mediumship, I never ever felt good enough. You know, I always had this lingering feeling of, I'm not good enough for a mediumship. I'm not good enough to do DJing. I'm not good enough to do the things that I wanted to. But obviously I worked through it, and I wouldn't be telling the story today. So it's a little bit about the journey of how do you overcome that self-doubt. And you'll read that if you read the book too. So people are really enjoying it. I'm getting fantastic reviews. People can't put it down once they begin. And it's surprising for me because, you know, there's still that little part of me. It's like, oh my God, people are reading my book. Wowzers, you know, but in a good way. So if you want a book that will create miracles of, and what is a miracle? You know, when you look at what a miracle is, it's a change of perception. It's a change of thinking. It's a change of attitude. It's to instill faith, hope, bring encouragement back into your life. And that's what the book does, through sharing examples of stories of the individuals that I've done readings for.
It's amazing. Thank
you.
Can't
wait to read it.
It's good.
It's been a while since I've read. I remember I read some years and years ago when I was a kid and using angel cards, and I think my sister brought back a book about another medium, but it was one of the first books I'd ever seen of that kind. And I remember reading it and being so like, oh my God. So yeah, I'm looking forward to reading this, especially someone who's local to Belfast in Northern Ireland. And Yeah, and someone who's so connected, because we're really passionate about kind of connecting up the local community here as well. So people are aware of you and aware of, say, the Belfast Spiritualist Church, and, you know, the work that other people are doing. That's like really important to us. So, yeah.
It's to bring relief for individuals, because you have to think about it. If you're a skeptic and you're coming into this, or maybe you've never had a death before, your husband passes away, and then you're left with this gaping almost hole, like a black hole almost, you know, of, is he okay? Is he still with me? Is he still around? And, you know, wanting to know, is he okay? So people have that desire, that need, and they've never ever encountered mediumship before, but they begin to open their minds because they've heard about it and they want to know that there's truth in it, that it's not just someone trying to pull the wool over their eyes or say something that, you know, question them or try to do cold readings or all these things that people, skeptics, you know, that would really come up with. But if you're in front of a real medium, then they're going to provide a certain feeling of the individual that they're bringing through, but also not just through the lovely evidence and the memories of what that loved one's trying to say and convey, but it's just to bring the reality. Oh my God, my husband is still with me. I'm not on my own. I still have him. He still loves me. I'm walking out that door with that feeling of relief, just relief. That's what mediums do. We provide relief. We're relief makers.
Miracle workers and relief
makers. We're miracle workers. Yeah. But we all are in our own way. We all have our own gifts and abilities. Mm-hmm. We're not above or below anybody. We're all equal, but we all have our own individual talents and gifts. And it's just how you express them. You could be the best cleaner in the world, fair play to you, because I'm not into cleaning, but if you are, mm-hmm. fabulous. You know, you could be the best doctor in the world, but it doesn't make you any better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the thing is. It's just whatever gifts you've been born with, and it's how you then give that of service to individuals who are with you. Mm-hmm. People are really enjoying the story of not just my story, but then all the lovely stories that are within the book. And there's people that have given their stories about spirit signs. Maybe this will be a good one to keep in your wee podcast, because ordinary everyday people that aren't mediums, that aren't psychics, that don't have an awareness of spirit, or maybe have no awareness of anything in their religious or spirituality, that they're just going about their day-to-day family, jobs, paying bills, doing the normal, you know, human experience. But if a loved one dies, that loved one will still want to try to reach out and give you a spirit sign, especially if you're going through a tough time. And so there's lots of little stories about unique ways of how loved ones have connected to their individuals this side of life. And we examples are trying to warn them. For there's a lovely story in there about a girl, and she was driving, and her granny came and told her to slow down and told her to change lanes. And so she changed lanes because she heard it so strong in her mind. And if she hadn't changed lanes at that particular time, another car just came out at the right time, it would have been a big, big crash. So they can try to warn us in that way. Another wee spirit sign are like, you're normal, through feathers and birds and dreams and smells. And there's a lovely wee story about a girl, and she lost her dad, and she sat with him in the hospital. And before he had passed over, they had talked about a spirit sign of a rainbow. Because the man was a painter and decorator, and he said to her, always look for the rainbows in the sky. I'm going to paint you a big one. And on the day that he died, she came out with her sister, and they were standing outside the hospital, and the two of them were really emotional. And her sister said, oh my God, look up, look up. And they looked up to the sky, and it was a little rainbow. And this was just after he had passed away. And the girl went, no, Daddy, that's not good enough. I want a bigger rainbow. And they had to drive home. And when they were on the drive home, they came around a corner, and she says she just went into floods of tears, because the biggest, brightest rainbow you could ever have seen just appeared in front of them. And always that is her symbol and her sign from her daddy. And people might say, no, it might be just a reflection of the sun or the rain, or that's how it's, you know, it's connected. But to her, it means something. Numbers is another way that, you know, loved ones can reach out. People have feelings. They've maybe heard voices. They've seen operations of individuals standing there and then just disappear again. All of them are real experiences. Because why? Because we're all spirit. Every one of us. Whether you know it or not, we're all spirit. And that's why our loved ones can reach out to us when we're in a time of need.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to be open to it, you know.
I have a friend who says, especially about the numbers, when they see 333, they know immediately that it's their uncle. Immediately. Like, so they'll be sending me voice notes and they're like, hi, Uncle David, 333, hi, Uncle David. So, like, it's like a regular thing. Like, that's, I'd never encounter. I knew about, you know, about numbers, and I have regular numbers that I see quite a lot. And I don't ever really know what they're trying to say, but I just know that there's something, they're like, I'm trying, someone or something's trying to get my attention. But for them, very specifically, 333, Uncle David, like, so, yeah.
That's it. And there's another lady, and she was the same. She would have, because her father was a mathematician, and she always seen the same patterns of numbers, but just knew it was her dad trying to reach out through the numbers, the sequence of numbers, because he loved numbers in life because of his job and what he was involved in, you know, and so that would make sense for him to connect. Your uncle, maybe there's another reason why there's threes, you know, did he die on the third, or is there another reason? You know, I had a lady whose son, he died on the 5th of the month, and everywhere she went, she always found 5P. And she just associated the 5P to the 5th of knowing. Everywhere she went, even in her house, 5Ps, just finding random 5Ps. And she knew that when she picked it up, that's him trying to, like, let me know that he's still around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can reach out. Another lovely story of a spirit saying I got from a lady one time. I was working in the shop, mm-hmm. and it was the end of the day, and I came downstairs, could just finish my readings, and this lady came in, and there was another girl with her, and they were walking about the shop, and she looked really down. I could, you know, I was kind of still a wee bit open to, you know, because it was only just finished work, and I said to her, you know, can I help you? And she says, yes, love, I'm just looking some crystals, anything to give me a wee boost at the minute. And I said, are you all right? And she says, well, not really, I'm just back there now from visiting my son's grave. You know, he died through taking his own life a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And she says, I know, but I got the most amazing sign. And I said, did you? And she said, yes. And she said, do you want to see it? And I said, yes, of course. And she opened her purse, and she took out of her purse this piece of paper. And she said, I found this on the grave when I went up. And I said, do you mind if I read it? And she says, no. And I took the piece of paper, and it said, Mum, I am always with you. I am always with you. And she found that on the grave. So that's how you know that the son was present. You know, so our loved ones are always trying to give us. And even in their moments of sadness, sometimes people maybe put out thoughts to them, and, you know, where they make demands of the loved ones. You know, at the end of the day, we all have at times a lack of patience, and we want things our way, or we want something done a certain way, or certain wee code words that we might have shared with a loved one. Some people would say, turn the lights on and off, or switch the TV on and off, or play with the electrics, or do something that I'm going to know it's you. You know, but not always will our love, they don't want to frighten or scare. They don't want to do that. They want to bring the memories and the essence of, you know, we're still here. We still love you. And so they might maybe pop into the dreams that night, you know, and then you have a vivid dream that you can remember years later. Just so you know, it's a memory. It's an experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shows you just, there's no such thing as coincidences whatsoever. Like in my mind anyway, that's just not,
yeah,
not a thing. Everything has meaning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, everything meaning if you needed to, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which can be sometimes probably to my own detriment. I can just be walking around the street and see something, I'd be like, what does it mean? But like a lot of the time it will mean something if that's how you're inclined to think or how you're inclined to like move through the world. You will mm-hmm. interpret signs in that way, and they will be real. Because why wouldn't they?
And what are the reason for them? You know, it's again that reminder, we are not on our own.
Mm.
That's the reason. that there is a power that is trying to take care of us, that loves us, that wants good for us, that wants us to be restored. You know, if you are in pain, that higher power is trying to help in some ways, you know. So, yeah, I think it's good.
It definitely is.
Have you enjoyed the podcast tonight?
100%. Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't want to take up too much your evening. Oh, yes, right. I just noticed it's after 8, but getting a lot from this conversation. I'm sure whoever's will be listening to it.
Sorry, Brona. I thought I was sorry.
No.
Tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to going over it again and like picking out little clips and stuff. So there's so many things that you can I've clipped already in my head, and I'm like, yes, this is amazing. Yes, this. So and we'll obviously tag you and everything and stuff. But I want to, if you're okay with this, I'll take up your time for 2 more minutes. But I wanted to pick your brain about something specific that, that I, as much as I like say, this isn't going to be in the podcast. As much as I say, oh, you know, like when I don't really do readings much anymore. But I have had moments where I feel like a person's spirit has arrived into the reading, and I'm really resistant to it. And it makes me feel very vulnerable. It's really strange. But setting that aside, so I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I think I was probably sort of keeping it aside. But at night, sometimes I'll see things. And I've been like this since I was wee. So it started off with like, it would look like energy moving around the room, or it would literally look like a shoe being.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of 10 in the Flame. Any relevant information to this episode will pop in the episode description. That includes links to our Instagram. You should go follow us if you're really enjoying the podcast. You'll enjoy the content. We now also have a donation link if you want to leave us a tip. That helps keep our episodes advert free. That's also in the episode description. And as always, if you're really enjoying the episodes, please leave us a review.